welcome to an all new episode of the Lisa Ann Experience. I am your host, Lisa Ann, and I would like to extend my gratitude to you for making me a part of your listening experience between audiobooks, podcasts, and of course, for me, anything sports radio related. There's a lot out there. So thank you for being here with me. I do have a guest. I will wrap this up with the mailbag, but you know, I like to catch up a bit. This is my time where I get to fill everyone in, like what's been going on in my life. What have I been noticing? What am I excited about? What's new? And here we are. It's coming up on holiday season. As I walked into Nordstrom this morning to go to the dry bar, and little funny story here, when I was a kid, I used to dream about being able to go into the mall when it's closed and just walk around. I just want to try on clothes. Wasn't planning on stealing anything. I just wanted to be in the mall. I loved the mall as a kid. I've always loved shopping, style, makeup, perfumes, everything. So I used to dream of this. And the dry bar in the city, one of the ones that I go to, is actually located inside Nordstrom upstairs. So you actually get to walk into Nordstrom when it's closed. So you cut through the beauty department. There's security people there. But every time I walk through when it's super early and Nordstrom is closed, I think to myself, like, your childhood dreams are coming true. You're getting to walk through a store when it's closed. But, you know, it's not like I could be trying things on. There's security there. But it's a silly thing. Brings me to, you know, that little bit of habit, something that I do when I sit there and I get my hair blown out. The amount of stuff that I get done in that hour is crazy. I'm just on my phone the whole time. We don't talk because why try and talk over a loud hair dryer? So like emails, getting myself ready for the week, getting excited about things, pre-setting some posts up. What am I going to post on Instagram today? And it's like a very beneficial time for me. And it sets my week straight because my hair is straight and I don't have to worry about doing it for a couple of days. So it's one of those little habits. But then you add on the element of getting to walk in there when they're closed. But as I walked in today, it's the first day I'm starting to see and smell everything that has to do with the holidays. And I walked in and just walked through this whiff of just holiday fragrance. And it's just an exciting time for all of us. And over the weekend, I did my weekly call with my BFF and we planned out our Thanksgiving tradition trip. And so Sunday morning, I woke up so excited. So we sit on a FaceTime, we'll sit for hours and just talk about everything. You know, we don't really talk much during the week. We might text a little bit over TV shows, but she's got a very busy work schedule. Her and her husband have their new hot tub outside and a fire pit, and so they have their activities in the evenings. So our Saturday catch-ups are like our everything. When I wake up on Sunday mornings after we do it, I always feel so great because it mimics the life that I had when I lived in Studio City and they were still in Orange County. And I would drive down every Saturday afternoon that I wasn't on the road, and we'd just sit outside in their backyard and talk for hours. Just visit, you know, just visit. And so I always wake up Sunday after those calls, like super excited. It's when I woke up Sunday morning, I was like, you know what? Book your trip. Do not allow anything to come in between how exciting the conversation was last night about Thanksgiving in Lake Tahoe and being able to hike and do all these great things outdoors and have the fire pit. And when I stayed at their new home last year, their fire pit was in, but their hot tub wasn't. But the infrared sauna is in the garage, which I love. So like there's a lot of activities. And so I got up and the first thing I did was like, all right, let me start to look at these trips and let me see what I can do. And then I realized, huh, you've put in a lot of time on those seats this year, young lady. You've got a ton of miles. So I booked it with miles, only had to pay the $11 fee to book the trip. Didn't get a direct, but you know what? I'll compromise and take a layover in Phoenix, which is a great spot to lay over, rather than spending around the holidays what they charge for flights. It's astronomical where you go to the same place at a different time. But I booked the trip. And it's so fun, the holidays, what they do for our mind and our spirit. Whether it's your family, whether it's your friends, whether it's your pets, you look forward to this downtime that is uncomplicated because you know everybody else is also enjoying their downtime. I can work every single day up until that trip, which I plan to do, and then really just lean in. But I can work every day up until that trip because I have that trip to look forward to. When I started seeing a therapist many, many years ago, when I first moved to California, one very valuable thing I learned was to have something to look forward to so that you can power through your work things and maybe some things that drag or appointments you have to make. but the light at the end of the tunnel is there. And that light at the end of the tunnel is spending your free time in the space, in the company, in the place of where you want. So I'm super excited about that, because between now, October, almost Halloween, and Thanksgiving, I'll be going to New Jersey for Exotica, which is November 3rd, 4th, and 5th. I'll be going to Australia for Sexpo Love X, which is November 10th, 11th, and 12th. So like I then will be going to Lake Tahoe to get in some nature and relax and disconnect. And I just knew that if I didn't plan it yesterday, and I had already peeped in on what the deal is with Sapphire on Thanksgiving, because I'm hosting every Thursday nights. So I thought, well, if I have to host, I can't go away for Thanksgiving. They're closed on Thanksgiving. So I got that week, I'm making up during Exotica by hosting a Friday night event. So yes, I'll do a Thursday night in the city, drive out to Exotica in Jersey that night, get up, do my radio spots. Then I'll do Exotica, my appearance. Then I'll get back on the road for an hour, come into the city, but it will be my first wine tasting. And it's going to be Friday, November 3rd at Sapphire 60. So as soon as I reached out, it was like, what's going on with Thanksgiving? And then I was like, okay, well, can we like just swap that out with something accommodated, done? But I just knew if I didn't book it, I would forget how excited I was to book it. I would wait and maybe I wouldn't be able to use miles, because you know, if you don't book it in advance with miles, they'll offer you like 3 layovers. Who's doing that? No one. You're just going to pay for the flight, right? So got up and did it. And also nothing now that is all marked out in my planner. I'm gone for a week. Okay. I'm taking a week off, 5 days. I cannot wait. So that's exciting. And it's something I really look forward to. And I love being with them on Thanksgiving. We're all Dallas Cowboys fans. We make a big deal of it. We watch the game. And it'll be a great holiday weekend. And speaking of the games, I think we should really talk about something that's been going on in the NFL. Pop culture meets NFL, meets the NFL families, the NFL wives. So you know I'm talking about Taylor Swift and Brittany Mahomes, the pop culture, the icon that is Taylor Swift, who has become friendly with Patrick Mahomes, right? Brittany Mahomes, due to the fact that Taylor Swift and Travis Kelce are in this romance, which for those of you who are naysaying this, you just don't love love. I love love. I watch rom-coms nonstop. Bad ones, really bad one, but I love them all. So I love love. So when this first started and I had heard the bit on Travis Kelce's podcast with his brother Jason, where he talked about going to Taylor Swift show and having the love bracelet, you know, the friendship bracelets that everybody gives out. And then Taylor reached back out and then Taylor followed him on social and he DMs her to the game and the Arrowhead. The long and the short of it is, I loved yesterday. Because Taylor Swift and Brittany Mahomes having their own touchdown celebration was everything I had been waiting for. I had brought it up with Howard Bender on my show, Lisa Ann Does Fantasy Better, that when this very started being a part of a conversation, and we didn't even yet know if Taylor Swift was going to go to a game, I said, I cannot wait for Taylor Swift and Brittany Mahomes to be in the box together. And then when the first game happened, Brittany was in her own family box and Taylor was with Travis's family. And so they weren't together. Then the second game, they're together. Now they're together. And now they have their own touchdown celebration, which was so hella cute. I've been a follower of Brittany Mahomes for years. And I've loved all of her concepts, all of her posts, beautiful family photos, and it's weird because if you talk about celebrating Brittany Mahomes, there's so many people that don't like her and that have horrible things to say. And I think to myself, like, how can someone that you never met bother you this much? How can something that you don't understand bother you this much? And so I followed her. I would talk with her amongst my friends, but I knew not to talk to her in some spaces because people are so vile. And what I love the most about this is Taylor getting to take time off. Taylor Swift is a busy woman. She is a corporation. She is a monster. She is a behemoth of a performer, of a conductor, since she puts her tours together on her own. The truckers, all the things that we've learned that Taylor Swift does, and the fact that she takes no breaks and puts on shows that people just love, and the vibe is fantastic. And it's a celebration of so many great things, and everyone loves her. But I've loved watching Taylor Swift escape into the sport that I love. I've loved watching Taylor Swift get to bond with someone like Brittany Mahomes, who has been with her husband now since they were in seventh grade, who has been his number one cheerleader. There's an expression, an old expression that used to be, behind every strong man, there's a strong woman. And if you didn't understand Brittany Mahomes, you could always go and watch Quarterback on Netflix, because it really showcased her and the understanding that she did not expect for this many people to not like her either. She did not expect for this type of response or complication with anything that she was doing. She is just purely celebrating her awesome husband. Imagine being in a relationship where your husband is the Super Bowl champion, the best quarterback in the league. I mean, just imagine that excitement. How could you contain it? She's beautiful. She's adorable. And guess what? They're happy together. So for Taylor to get away from an existence that is so big and to be in the family box at these games and being around football people that just forget about their lives and just cheer on these games, it makes me so happy. So I talked briefly about it on my show, but I think it's important for us to look at this for what it is. Have some empathy for how other people live and exist. When I look at a woman like Taylor Swift, I think, oh my gosh, this woman works and is so consistent and has so much going on and is managing so many people and probably has so many people working for her just to fight imposters and all the risk and all the chaos with social media and all the weird things and crazy fans. Remember, she's the first to tour with facial recognition so that her stalkers are not able to get into her shows. She's brilliant. But that mastermind, that thought process, that brain is constantly just moving. I kind of see it stop a little bit, hanging out with her new gal pal, Brittany Mahomes, cheering, wearing her Kansas City Chiefs gear. Like, all of it is just special. And also, for those of us that love sports the way I do, to see someone lean in and understand why we have this passion. We have this passion because we don't have to do anything but watch everybody else do everything. We have this passion because there's this history, there's these matchups, there's these rivals. But in the real scheme of things, it's entertainment. It's a different form of entertainment than what Taylor does. But Travis Kelce definitely plays better when she's there. He had a monster game yesterday, and the games that she's been there, his stats have been incredibly better. So she's watching him entertain. But sports are really an escape, like a movie. Whatever your preference, some people like movies and Broadway shows more than sports. Whatever your preference, the fact that you can just funnel it all onto that field, onto that show, onto that screen, and when you funnel it all there, your stuff doesn't matter. We all need an escape from our stuff. And so on the Britney side of it, I think this is just so cool. Taylor's been taking her out to dinners with all of her gal pals, which Taylor's friends are all ballers, right? Like, this is, you know, Brittany Mahomes is getting next level. She deserves her time to shine. She's been standing there while her husband has been shining for so many years. So this warms my heart. It makes me happy. It gives me the feels. And I'm hoping that more people support it and have less negative things to say about it. But the San Diego Chargers woman, who we fell in love with last Tuesday on Pat McAfee, well, that became a conspiracy too. Everybody found the negative in that. It's just weird. I'm not sure yet why, but for some reason, is it that people cannot process other people's happiness if they're not happy? Because the example I have is like yesterday. Sundays, I do a live stream on Instagram. I've decided not to do my YouTube lives. It's more to set up. IG is easy. I just put my phone over here. I use the window light. Don't even set up lights. And my teams are doing better. Not all, but some. But I'm doing 80% better in fantasy football this year because I'm just doing this quick stream. And then I go and tinker with my lineups and listen to all the updates. But as I'm on my live, I'm reminded, first of all, it was Sunday Fun Day or Football Sunday, whatever you call it. And the comments that I get, so I have to, let's say there's 1,000 people in the room and they're all commenting. They come in pretty fast. And if I get a couple good comments, I can pause it so I can address all of those good comments. But the comments that I'm briefly reading and touching in, I'm like, nope, that's not going to, I am perusing through, I'm sifting through while I'm live. So my brain is reading this information and deciding whether I should share. My mouth is talking because while I'm reading this one, I'm responding to the last one. And when I do these lives, that's what kind of reminded me of like the Brittany Mahomes thing. I'm reminded of the true vitriol that people have for me and want to share with me. And yesterday was a heavy one. Yesterday was a heavy one of, you're never going to be anything more than a porn star. Anybody only sees you as one way. You're always going to be seen and nonstop, bam, 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 bam. And I'm like, okay, all right. I'm just like sifting through it and just doesn't stop. Then I get a, you know, when you die, your only legacy is going to be that as well. And I'm like, I responded to that. I'm like, well, what am I going to care? You know, I die. But what I brought up was, when did it happen that strangers felt their opinions were so valuable that they would affect a stranger? Because you have to be trying to affect someone. You're trying to throw negative juju at someone if you're putting that out there. I imagine I've never written a bad comment. Now, mind you, I am the person who almost lost her entire life over a bad joke that I put on Twitter back in 2014. A joke that no one was tagged, but that bad joke cost me 5 years of my life and almost cost me my entire life. So I'm a little bit more gun shy on social media than probably the average person. I read a lot of threads and I read a lot of negative stuff and threads. But as I was sitting there and I was responding, I said, like, why do people think opinions are very important? But I was raised to believe if you don't have anything nice to say, you don't say anything at all. And I have to wonder why someone feels better or it's important to share this negative comment, to just beat somebody down. So as I went about my day and I was watching games, I was thinking about it. And I realized, I had this aha moment. I've realized that there's people in this world that dislike me more now than ever because I am thriving. I have multiple businesses going on. I still do get to make money off of the adult industry, which was part of my life for so many years. I host these amazing events Thursday nights, Sapphire 39 for the whole football season. Did a ton of events this year at Sapphire in Las Vegas. So I still get to, I went to Greece for an event this year. I'm going to Australia, went to Switzerland. So I'm getting all the goodies. And so it hit me like, oh, people really dislike me now. Okay, this is an interesting vibe. And it made me think of Britney and then watching that game later. And then they're hugging and I'm like, oh my God. But people dislike me now. And the psychology of that is interesting because I've done a lot of research on the parallels between men that have had a fascination with a particular woman as a starlet or in the adult space. And so what they come to survey is they really don't want us out and existing, because that breaks the fantasy. It creates a reality that they have to accept that they've fed into financially our success. And it takes the control away. They want to have that upper hand. She's broken. She's weak. This is the only choice she had in life. Poor her, poor her. Well, once they can no longer say poor me, it's flipped the script and now it's, we don't like you. And now it's that you're a horrible person. And now it's, you're a scumbag. And this is how everybody's going to think of you forever. That's all you're ever going to be seen at. And it's just like this constant flood. So I must say, like, probably if there were 1,000 people in there, 20% of the comments were of that ilk. And so I had that aha moment. I really sat and thought about it. And it's more than anything, it's just distracting because it's comments that you have to read to get through the good ones. I've always enjoyed a good scavenger hunt, so it's not a problem. And when one of my people comes in the room, I'm like, yes, one of my people is here. I will say hello to you. We will talk for a moment. But ask yourself, when you see these things, what makes someone feel the need to do that? Does that person feel that I should be sad or that I should be unhappy with my life or that I should be broken or addicted to drugs or lost in some sort of a way? What is the end result of somebody feeling the need to tell me I'm worthless? I can't imagine they've thought about it, but I can only imagine my aha moment was right. them telling me they're worthless, I'm worthless, is really them feeling worthless and them reflecting that on me. The secret, like attracts like, life is magnetic. They're just spewing out their own emotions and they're directed at me because they have such rage for the fact that I had a plan when I get into the business. I executed that plan. I've created a new space for myself. I'm a podcast. I've written two books. Like, I do shit. I also work really hard. Might just be a work ethic thing, but there's some deep-rooted, unnecessary resentment. And if you're like a friend of mine or you're somebody that comes in my live streams or you're somebody that's on my timelines, do yourself a favor. Don't argue back with them. Most of the time, by the time I see somebody arguing back, I've already blocked that person. But don't waste your time. I see it. We're all filtering through it. It is what it is. But instead of arguing back with them, let's take it upon ourselves to have the empathy for them. Because if they were happier people and they were more successful, they wouldn't have the time to be on my live stream talking smack. They wouldn't feel the vibe to send out such low vibrations. You know, I live in a high vibrations frequency always. So like it would take a lot for something to lower that vibration and it would never come from a stranger. But I feel bad for generations after me. I feel bad for younger people coming into a space that's new as a celebrity, an influencer, an adult star, what have you. And I imagine like I was already in the industry and kind of had a backbone before social media happened. So it was a little bit easier for me. But imagine you're brand new and, you know, you go on to the peanut gallery and there's all of this. And then imagine you save your money, you work really hard, you do great things. I mean, think about it. Most of the people that are naysaying me are also people that enjoyed me in one way, shape, or form. And now they hate me. And they probably watched it for free on the internet. But regardless, what you expose someone else to. And I think, oh, that's got to be such a hard thing to filter through when you don't have as much kind of just like, okay, yeah, that's not a big deal. It's a lot. It's toxic and it's unnecessary. But as I see it, I had that aha moment and I sat with myself and said, okay, so now you know. You've got people that are on Team Lisa. Before you had people that were neutral. Well, now you have people that just do not like Team Lisa at all. As a matter of fact, I don't know if you've noticed on my YouTube channel, if you're a YouTube user here, The Real Lisa Ann, you can watch the live premiere of my podcast every Friday night at 8 p.m. I sit in the chat. It was great to catch up with everybody last week. I was sprawled out on my couch, just up in the chat. It's nice to connect. I have a nice group that's in there live on Fridays. But if you noticed, I've deleted all the Dudes Do Better content. I'm actually listing the Dudes Do Better social logo and everything for sale. Because that podcast got me so like the next level hate. Okay. Next level vitriol, still getting crazy emails. So I actually thought about it for a couple of months and then I was like, and then I sat down with Kay about it and I'm like, this doesn't bring me value anymore. And as a matter of fact, it's brought me a lot of angst. So there's no more of that content out there. I've taken it all down. I never released it as a podcast. It was exclusive to my YouTube channel. It was time to make that decision because you can only handle so much hate in one day. But now I know when I'm doing lives that there's a lot of resentment towards me and this is going to be the next level. Each time I've taken steps in life, I've felt a new kind of response from people. From when I retired to when I have my breast reduced, like you're constantly as someone in the public eye, you are a funnel for everybody's opinions, thoughts, emotions, and feelings. And so I've watched it go through these stages. I watched the beginning of when I was just exclusively doing sports content when I first retired. It was probably the year of the nastiest comments I've ever gotten in my life from people so mad I was talking sports, so mad I was doing anything and just hate. I was like, all right, got through that year. What's next? This new layer at 51 years old is probably the most unique yet because I can't understand it enough, but I understand it simply in the fact that there is resentment there. And the people that feel the need to try to verbally break me down when I do IG lives have some serious things going on that they're just trying to think, if I could make her feel worse about herself, then maybe I'd feel better about myself. That's kind of how I felt like everybody was treating Brittany Mahomes, which is the silliest thing ever. And now to see her getting her shine with Taylor Swift is like the greatest rock, paper, scissors paper over rock for sure. So, you know, I've got this wine thing going on, and you can follow the new account at Lisa by Lisa Ann on Instagram. It's been an interesting process going out now. I'm kind of, you know, a door-to-door salesperson. I'm going to my friends that have restaurants and clubs. Sapphire's taking on the wine here in the city. Like I said, we're going to have the first wine tasting Friday, November 3rd after Exotica. It's going to be the Exotica after party. Also ordering like packaging materials to ship wine so that I can send some to some of my friends and other influencers and do like these welcome packages. Like, it's added this really fun time of creativity, and it's also reminded me how much I love into just digging into learning something new and just going down the rabbit hole. Yesterday, I spent like an hour looking at all the different shipping ways you can send a pairing of two bottles to four bottles to six bottles and how you can seal them. And then I went on to all these different sites to see who has the best pricing, because, you know, if you're going to be a good business person, you can't just order everything on Amazon. You got to find somebody else who's making it for like a larger volume for less. And as things have started to come in, like gift bags and stickers to put on the gift bags, you realize that every time you start a new business out of an apartment, you have to find a new space in your closet because you have now new items that are going in. So there's the books, there's the calendars, there's the podcast equipment, there's the radio show equipment. There's so many just little things, but digging in is so fun. And, you know, I was pouring a glass of wine for a friend last night, and I opened a new bottle, and I said, you know what I say to myself every time I open a new bottle of wine, my wine at my apartment? I think about every rap song that said, don't get high on your own supply. I mean, that's legit what I think of. I'm like, I really have to limit. So I'm giving myself complete off days from wine, and I'm trying to do tastings in groups of friends where I can pour a glass and hold it and just keep refilling everybody else's glasses. But yeah, that's the funniest like rap thing that comes to me all the time. Each time I crack open a new bottle, I'm like, how are you going to make money at this? You know, you can't get high on your own supply. It's one of the greatest little lyrics there, but it's exciting. It's exciting to learn something new, to have this going on, to be managing two Instagrams versus one and not messing up and posting something on the wrong one, which is always like switching back and forth. But the challenges are here, and I love all of it. And I'm so thankful to have it, just like my event schedule for the rest of 2023. November 3rd, 4th, and 5th is Exotica, New Jersey. I will be in Edison, New Jersey for all 3 days at the Loyal Fans booth. We will be doing an after party Friday night, November 3rd at Sapphire 60 in New York City, where you will be able to taste my wine. I will be hosting a wine tasting. The following week, a little bit longer of a travel, I will be going to Melbourne, Australia to Sexpo Love X, where I'll be signing, going to the after parties, and doing everything for 3 days so that when I get back on the plane, I sleep the whole time. I am taking a 4-day trip to Australia, which sounds to be so crazy, but I'm getting in a day early so I can hit the gym, sauna, massage, get my body right after 22 plus hours of travel, do the event Friday, Saturday, Sunday, and then Sunday night, the after party, and I'm going to go right to the airport from the after party. So I'm ready to handle, because Thanksgiving follows up my little vacation, and then December 1st, 2nd, and 3rd is Exotica DC. One of the people that will be at Exotica DC that will have something new to share with you, it is a book, and the book is called Granny Panties, How I Made a Fortune Selling My Undies. The author is Ruby Lynn, who you've met before, but we're going to have a new conversation with right here. Well, I love it when I get to reconnect with friends over something new, and when they join the club of being a friend that is now also an author, I get to get really excited. Ruby Lynn, it is so great to have you back with me. We're talking about your new book, Granny Panties, How I Made a Fortune Selling My Used Undies.
Thanks for having me back. It's so nice to see you again.
It's great to see you too. So what was this process like for you, and how did you come up with this being your concept? Because you own this whole niche of the granny panties and selling panties.
So how I came up with the book is I really wanted to tell the story, because I get asked all the time, like, how did you get into adult work at 53? you know, and to the point where you retire from being a social worker. And it really just all started with some dirty panties.
I get that. So many people asking you, how did you come about this? And now that's the whole like, okay, this is the idea. From start to finish, how long did it take you, the process of writing the book, choosing the artwork for the cover, and then you're doing print on demand by Amazon, right?
Yes, yes.
Such an easy way to not have to deal with inventory. It's simplistic. Yeah. You get it right out there, especially it gets right out there on the Kindle version. Right. Are you also doing an audiobook?
I'm going to. I'm planning to do that. But the process took really about 90 days. So about 3 months from conception to I'm uploading it to Amazon.
That's not bad. I mean, you must have grinded that out though for 90 days. You made it a full-time job, 5 days a week. I'm committing to this project. This is what I'm doing right now.
Yeah, I wouldn't say 5 days a week, but you know, I did commit a lot to it. I designed the book cover myself and did all that, wrote, you know, all the introduction, the whole thing. And it was a process and just learning how to do that, you know, researching, how do I self-publish basically? And so that was a fun process to learn as well. And I have Lainey Spicer, you know, my publicist, I have to thank her a lot for her support throughout that.
And she's so great because she's put out quite a few books and she knows all about that process. That's really her, you know, her world. So having you aligned with Lainey, I'm sure made this process a lot more easy to understand as you were going through it.
It was. And if it wasn't for her, I might not have written the book because she kept saying, you need to get this out there. You need to get this information, this story. And so it was a fun process and just kind of analyzing it. She helped me a lot just to figure out the flow of the chapters. And yeah, it was a fun process. I enjoyed it.
And now you have something else in your arsenal, right? You're part of the Authors Club. You'll have some books with you when you do events. And I'm sure your followers on OnlyFans are super curious about it too.
Yeah. Yeah. I've really tried to promote it. And it's fun to watch your pre-orders, which I know because of your, you know, your books, just to see and think about who ordered that book, you know. So I'm looking forward to talking to people after they've read it. And kind of see what their feedback is. I wrote it with a real twist of humor. And so, you know, I want people to laugh with me and the mistakes I made or the lessons I learned. And so it's been fun.
I mean, it's a unique space, right? And you now got to share the story of the high, wet, when, and wow. And it could be bought for many reasons, but it is fun. You got the Kindle version out. When can people order their own copy from Amazon, Ruby?
Right now. I released it in paperback at the same exact time as Kindle because I know some people, I kind of like to have paper, you know, something to read. And I don't know, I'm a kind of a book nut anyway. So I wanted it to be available both ways.
I'm a book person myself. Like I'll only use my Kindle if I'm taking a really long trip. You know, I initially got my Kindle to go to Australia because I was like, oh, I could probably read 3 or 4 books from there to back, a 16-hour flight from LA. And I was like, okay, but then I really don't use it because I like to sit outside with a book. I like to be away from technology. I like to turn the page. I still think that is an art, but what I've learned is this younger generation, they love audiobooks. It's almost like a podcast to them where they can hear you tell the story and they get the fulfillment of like, oh, I read this book. Well, I actually listened to the audiobook, but it's the same.
Right. And I'm excited to do the audiobook because it'll be my voice and my story. So it'll really be like we're sitting down for coffee, you know, or a cocktail, and I'm going to tell you this story and all the crazy stuff that happened.
It's so fun because in the audio version, you can add in, you know, so much more inflection with certain mm-hmm. stories, a little side joke. I did some bonus chapters in my first audiobook of like how much my life had changed because I released that book in 2015. And it wasn't until the pandemic in 2020 when I decided to record the audiobook in my bedroom closet. So with that said, I had a lot of feels about, wow, you know, this seems like a lifetime ago, these 5 years. You're also still hosting your podcast. That is a weekly release. Am I right?
Yeah. Right now it's biweekly just because I was doing it weekly and, you know, with working, you know, doing all the other stuff I do, that was getting a little overwhelming. So now we're at every other week. And yes, I love doing that. Love interviewing people, learning about them.
Yeah, because it's a lot of planning, right? And, you know, sometimes technology doesn't work out, right? Sometimes somebody doesn't have a good internet connection. You're like, okay, I can't do this interview. I've found I'm at my best when I do 2 to 4 interviews in one day.
Yeah.
And then what I do is I bank those interviews and then I go back and re-listen to them while I'm putting my makeup on that day to shoot like the monologue and the rejoins and the mailbag. And it just feels good to be ahead. You know, it kind of reminds me of like living check to check when you're like only one podcast at a time. It's so stressful. You wake up, you're like, if this guest cancels, I don't have another person for this week.
You are absolutely right. And the reason I went to biweekly is I was doing weekly and then I was traveling a lot the first half of the year, like in crazy, like 8 trips in 4 months or something. And there was a week I'm like, I don't have a podcast to release. And so, you know, you just don't. And I thought, okay, like you said, I got to bank up these podcasts. So I was interviewing like 6 people a week to get ahead. And so thankfully now I have enough releases probably till almost the first of the year. So
but it's smart. Biweekly, you can be more selective with your guests. You can put more thought into each episode. And you're doing a lot of other things. So you've also been traveling to shoot and go to award shows, right?
Yes, I have been. A lot of shoots. My goal this year was to do a lot more collabs with other performers to kind of expand, you know, my catalog of content. And so I've done a lot of traveling this year. Did XBiz, Exotica, Chicago. I'll be at Exotica, New Jersey. So I'm looking forward to seeing you.
Yeah. Exotica, Chicago is always a great time. They're just fun shows. They're just laid back. I like the way they're spread out. It's not too loud. There's moments where the people are on stage and it gets loud, but it's only for like 45 minutes. Whereas I've always felt when I'm signing at AVN, I'm always was in a booth in between 2 other booths that had like these sound systems and they were both playing different music. And meanwhile, you're just trying to ask somebody their name so you could sign an autograph and you feel so bad because you have to ask them 3 or 4 times. And that's why every girl by the night of the awards show has no voice left.
Right.
Anybody who's been in a, because you're yelling to just try and be like, what's your name for your photo? It's wild. What have you learned about yourself now that you've opened up this space and you've started collabing with more performers?
I really enjoy it. I love the connection, just meeting other performers. And I think the one thing that has really been profound for me is learning from other performers, or we learn from each other. So we go to do a shoot. It's not only about how you do your paperwork versus mine. You know, I've been lucky enough to have other performers that we just share information, but also like, how do you shoot? You know, what's your style? What's your equipment? And so that's been really fun. I've been really fortunate to shoot with some awesome, you know, A-list performers, and just sharing that information and learning from them has been fun too.
It's a really unique connection because you meet somebody, you know what you're about to do, but yet there's a business aspect that steps into the relationship before any clothes come off and you're doing a scene. And that's normally the small talks of like, hey, you know, I have a bad knee, you know, on this side, so I prefer this side, or I do like this, or I don't like this, or for me, I like a lower angle with the camera, and then I'm going to put a behind the scene camera. You do learn a lot. You see that we're getting into a location or wherever you're doing your shoot. You have X amount of time to handle all the nuts and bolts. And then you know you have to shoot, do your photos, do your scene before you get out at this certain time. And right. there's no lollygagging. And the right performer, especially you're working with A-list performers, want to get the job done, want to get out at a decent time, want to hopefully miss traffic, and want to create something special. And that can all be done when you're with the right people.
Yeah. Yeah. It's been a great year, and I still have so much more coming up. So I'll be going to LA and New York to promote my book. So that'll be exciting. But I have some great collabs booked for during Exotica, New Jersey. So some performers I wanted to work with for a while.
Do you know your New York trip yet?
I do.
When?
I fly in October 29th.
Oh, so you're going to come in right before Exotica then?
Right.
I'm just going to stay up here. Smart. Mm-hmm.
And then go out to Edison. Because you promote
both things at one time. Smart. Yep. And that's such a pretty time of the year. Oh, I'm super excited. There's some new exhibits in the city that are still going to be here when you get here that we have to go just for some fun social media stuff, take some cool photos, some cool art that's been put around in different spots. And then also, like, we got this new thing that I think you would love. And Lainey would probably love too. It's a double-decker bus, but it's like tea time. And it's really fancy. And it's like, it's got like they have these beautiful like standing things with all the different cookies. And you buy like this package. And then you and your friends get this really cute table on this double-decker bus. It's like pink and mint green. And it's all like 5-star everything. It'd be such a cute thing. I followed it on Instagram the second I read about it. And I was like, I'll probably be doing this a dozen times by next year.
Cool. Let's do it. Let's do it.
A super fun thing. So you've been traveling more and getting into a adjustment of going from routine, your previous career, being home regularly, taking less vacations. How have you adapted to the volume of travel? It's a lot at first.
It is a lot. I love to travel. I mean, that's really why I started selling my used panties, was because I wanted to travel and social work didn't pay. And so the increase in travel, I'm living my dream every day I wake up. You know, it doesn't mean you don't have days where you're like, what did I get myself into? But for the most part, every day I'm like, I'm living my dream. And so this first half of the year was really the most travel I've ever done. And it was fun. I just really leaned into it. I would have trips where I'd be home for only 5 days and then I'm leaving again. And you just learn to really efficiently pack and have everything pre-done. But I really enjoyed it. By June, I was ready to be home for at least 6 weeks. So that was good.
That's me right now. I took my last trip on Sunday. It was a Monday night event I was hosting in Vegas. I had a 9-hour delay on my way out. Oh. I had a 5-hour delay. It was supposed to be a 24 or 27 hour trip. It ended up being like 40 some hours. It was football Sunday and I was stuck at an airport and they were playing the US Open. I just couldn't. I was like, this is next Sunday. I'm fantasizing right now about what this Sunday looks like. I will be on my big chair all day watching every game, 2 TVs in the living room, like going ham. But you know, you get into this rhythm. I feel like I'm better when I travel more. The first trip after I stay home for, let's say, 6 weeks, I don't pack well. I don't unpack. Yeah. When you're having to come and go, I pack less and you have everything you need. Mm-hmm. And if you don't, you can get anything you need somewhere else. So I try to be minimalist on my packing. And then I unpack the first second I'm home. It's how I like get through sitting on the plane all that time. I will not, even if it's late, just do it. Organize the laundry, put the suitcases away, and then you're like, you're instantly home. Whereas I feel like if you're leaving again in 5 days and you leave that bag out, you never really got home.
Right. You are absolutely right. And I do the same exact thing. The minute I get home, everything's put away, you know, suitcases back where it's supposed to be. I agree.
Because you're on the move. And also you realize like it's so much easier to unpack when you don't overpack.
Yes. Yes.
And overpacking is a habit. I think the best thing to do is be like, okay, I'm here for 3 days. It is hard for us, especially if you're going to shoots. You're going to have a whole bag of just shoot wardrobe, but that's a whole bag, you know, but it's the other stuff. Right. I love that you're really living your dream. I still get excited, you know, when I go to the airport. I mean, I didn't travel until my very first flight was to get in the business to move to California.
Wow.
We didn't travel as kids at all. We had a motorhome. We drove everywhere. Never was on a plane with my parents. My whole life.
Wow. Same.
Yeah.
Yeah. Same. Yeah. I never traveled till I left home.
Yeah. And we didn't have the money for that. We didn't do that. You know, when I looked back at my relatives and how they felt about flying, I did a lot of research on the 70s and 80s, and a lot of them were scared to fly because of the 70s and 80s.
Right. And I don't blame them. Look,
there were a lot of crashes back then. Okay. Like we don't have that now, but it was definitely different, but mm-hmm. it's a freedom feeling. And it's the unknown. And you have more interactions when you're just on the move, whether it's a small chat with someone in line at the airport at Starbucks or somebody that was pleasant checking into your hotel. You find yourself like in this free space of just enjoying the world.
Mm-hmm. I agree. Yeah.
Do people recognize you?
No, I haven't had anybody recognize me traveling. I've been recognized. I've been recognized once, and that was in the fall of 2021 on Sunset Strip in Hollywood. We went to the Viper Room and to see a artist that I had been following for a long time. And we were in town for an award show, and the roommate of the artist that I went to see recognized me and said, "Oh, weren't you nominated for this award? That was the show was yesterday." And I'm like, I was. And so that was fun. Got to meet the artist, hang out with them for a little while. And so that was exciting. And I just had a Spread and Hustler come out. So
it was exciting and beneficial. You already admired this artist, and to be able to meet them firsthand is like, this is when you're like, okay, there's some cool perks.
Yes, there is. And we're still friends to this day, both of them on Instagram. And if I'm in LA, last time I was in LA, I did message them and say, "Hey, I'm in LA. I have no plans for dinner," but they weren't available. But
you got to at least try when you're traveling as much as we are. So Ruby, you release a book this year. You've been nominated. You've been taking over the industry. You've done it completely your way. What's the future plans? You know, you had mentioned you wanted to start coaching. Is that something you're still interested in?
I am still interested in that. Yes. And I am to the point where I can take coaching clients. I haven't advertised it. I haven't really, you know, promoted it, I guess. I've spent this year really just building on what I already had. But I think 2024, for sure, I would love to help people, you know, build their CAM space or, you know, build their CAM presence, maybe increase their fan site. It is not that I know everything, but I have learned so much. And I just hate to see other people make a mistake. I recently had someone I was close to that's in the industry, and I ran a test. She wanted some help with her OnlyFans. And I said, "All right, we're friends. Let's see if I know what I'm doing and let me coach you." And within 1 week, she took her percentage from top 14 to top 6% on OF. So I said, "Okay, this is good."
It's a great example. And there's a lot of people out there that could use that. And for you, it's going to be a way to give back because you feel so much gratitude towards what, but there's no rush to do it because this year you are still traveling. You're going to be probably a year of just doing events with the book because you're going to take the book to every Exotica. That's 4 events a year. You're going to have it with you at other signings and personal appearances and be doing. And you know what? It's fun PR. And when you do start getting those responses about people reading it, there's something that's so fulfilling that somebody gave their time to read your words, right? What you put down, your story. And so you form this connection and you'll notice, like for me, you'll see it because you're doing on Amazon, you get all the emails. But for me, because I have my own store for my books as well that I run myself, when I would do a radio show, let's say I'm in Minnesota, you know, within 2 days, I get 7 orders from Minnesota. It's like, wow, those people really enjoyed the interview and they're buying the books. You see this little direct, and believe me, a book is the least profitable thing I do, but it gives me the most joy to get it out there.
Yeah, I am. That's what I was saying earlier. I'm excited, you know, because when you see the orders, it's like, oh, who ordered that? What did they think? And yes, I'm very excited about that aspect.
And you'll have to, and with Amazon, a lot of people are really good about leaving reviews. So you can start to go on there and read your reviews. But it's a great time. You've done so much in a short period of time. This has been, Ruby, 2 years for you now?
A little over three. So it was really February of 2020 that I started selling
before the pandemic.
Yeah. So yeah, we're headed at like, I guess, almost 4 years.
Unbelievable. What's the one thing that surprised you the most about the space that you've entered into?
Oh gosh. I would say, I think it's the camaraderie among people in the adult industry. The friends I've made, the people I've met like you, and just like-minded people. I think that's what I was missing in my life prior. And so that's been really fun, to just meet other people, and we're all working for the same, the same goal, I guess you'd say.
And you said, you know, like-minded, like we're all working in a situation where we wanted to be our own boss more than we wanted to work for somebody else.
Yep.
We wanted the adventure of travel on the regular. Like we all have these same, like, this is why we're doing this. And as crazy as it may sound to be going here, and there, it's to us crazier to be going to the same place every day, 5 days a week.
Yeah, that was very crazy. And I don't miss that at all. I don't miss corporate America. I was recently invited to a reunion from my prior social work job because I was pretty high up in what I did. And I just thought, you know, no, I'm really not going to go. That's kind of my old life. And, you know, walking into a room full of social workers and they'll be like, what are you doing now? I'm doing porn. It's probably a little uncomfortable.
Yeah. And you know what? The friendships that stuck, you talk to by text or phone to go and just expose yourself in and also be reminded of maybe other people in that space that didn't have the umspa to change their life like you did, Ruby. I mean, we feel bad. You look like, I know you don't want to be here, but you don't know what else to do.
Right. You're exactly right. You're exactly right. And one of the people I worked with doing the same position I did, she was a makeup artist in New York in like her former life. And I'm just like, go back and do that. Quit being miserable. You know,
yeah,
life is too short.
Life is too short. And sometimes we take what we think is stable because it's easy, because the other thing is more of a hustle. But you and I, and so many people like us in this world, like the hustle. We like to know, and we go to bed accomplished, and we know we're going to be building up our airline miles. There's nothing better than watching your miles start to build up. As you're doing these trips, you're like, okay, next level.
Yep.
Okay, it just keeps getting better and better and better, right?
It is. And you mentioned hustle. So hustle's been my keyword forever. I've always been a hustler. You know, I've always been entrepreneurial. And so earlier this year, I actually got it tattooed on my wrist, because when you have those bad days or those days you didn't hit your monetary goal, this reminds me that it's all about the hustle and you just can't stop.
No. And also you have to remember that there's the scales that balance things out. One day is going to be up. One day is going to be down. You got to rock with it. You just got to be, but that's just who we are. And it feels good, right? It just feels good to be creating something. And then when something big happens, you're like, wow, I created this out of nothing. Like I just came up with this idea. You're like, I just decided to sell panties. Look where I am right now.
Right. And you know, who would have known? All I wanted was to get enough money to go to England and Scotland.
That's all you wanted, right? That was the initial, the initial bit was like, I just want to go to England and Scotland.
Yeah. That was my big dream ever since I was a little girl. I wanted, because my dad's side of the family is English, and I just wanted to go, and it just never happened because it's expensive to go. And literally I wanted to go to England and Scotland. And I did that.
Look where I brought you now. Look where you are now. Ruby, before I let you go, can you give everyone a little backstory on your book, Granny Panties, How I Made a Fortune Selling My Worn Undies, and how they can get their hands on it?
Yeah. So the backstory is I talk about how at age 53, I was wanted to try something different, needed to make some extra money or wanted to, and just the trials and tribulations and how that one thing led to where I am today doing this full time. And yeah, it's just, it's a fun story. You can hear all the crazy things that happened or didn't work out. And you can find it on Amazon, Kindle and Paperbook. You can find all things Ruby at rubylinlinks.com. And I'll have a link there to the book as well.
And if people purchase your book and bring it in to any of your events, you're going to sign it, correct?
Absolutely. Bring it. I'll sign it. We'll take a picture. It'll be super fun.
And you're also going to bring your own copies to Exotica, New Jersey, yes. Right?
Yes.
I cannot wait to get mine. Hands on one immediately. Well, Ruby, great to see you again. This is really exciting. I look forward. I'm going to plan my Saturday night read cover to cover. I downloaded it onto my iPad because you sent me the Kindle version.
Yes.
So I was like, oh, I'll put it on my iPad. It's a nice way to read something when I don't have the paperback, but I will order the paperback. I will support. Thank you for joining me here again. Have a great day.
Thank you so much, Lisa. Always good to see you.
Ruby is so brilliant, and I love to meet someone at Ruby's age that is just completely pivoted in life and is loving it. More travel this year than her entire life at one span of time. Like, that's exciting, and this is what she always wanted, and now she's an author. Like, this is a woman who knows how to make the most of these opportunities, and Ruby's going to be an awesome coach for OnlyFans creators down the road that I know are going to really benefit from everything Ruby's been able to do and organize and assemble. But a great conversation, and I mentioned the holiday smell in Nordstrom, but how about holiday gifts? Let's stop doing this. Let's stop giving each other stuff that we have to hold on to unless it's something very useful. Most of the time it's not, and an experience is better. My friends and I gave up gifts years ago. We either do a trip or a dinner together. This Thanksgiving trip I do with my best friends is kind of like our Christmas things. We just spend time together for 5 days, and it's beautiful. But for you, how about you go to TicketRev.com, learn all about the app, download the TicketRev app, and take your people to a game, a concert, a show. Share an experience together where you can get some photos printed, maybe put them in some little 4x6 frames, and that photo is going to way outlast any gift. That memory of that experience is going to way outlast any trinket or item that has to be managed, moved, taken care of, or something that you feel guilty getting rid of, but you really never wanted it from the jump. Follow on social media at TicketRev and check out TicketRev.com to learn more. As a seller, you pay the fees, but as a buyer, you pay nothing. So this is a great way to do something unique and share time with the people that you love the most. What I loved was this week, another mailbag where I just went in and there were questions that didn't cringe me. I'm no hair standing up. No. Great questions right here. And if you want to get involved, you can send your questions to asklisaann@gmail.com. Let's bring it in the moment you've been waiting for, the mailbag. This message comes from our friend JJ in Canada, and JJ says, subject matter, childhood crush. Hey, LA, I hope all is well with you. I'm curious on who your childhood crush was. As a child, my mom would take me to her bowling league and sit me at the snack bar with my jelly beans, and I would watch Wonder Woman. Oh my gosh, that show was so classic. And if we watched it now, it would seem so poorly shot, just like fake, but amazing, her lasso. I was so enamored by Linda Carter and still am. Also, curious on your favorite superhero. You know who mine is. Love the podcast. Stay sexy. Regards, JJ from Canada. JJ, I'm right there with you. My favorite superhero has always been Wonder Woman. I was a Wonder Woman fan. I wouldn't say it was a crush, but I was a fan. And Linda Carter was coming to my mall when I was about like 9 years old. And I insisted on going, and Sundays was the only day my dad had us all week. So it was my dad's responsibility to wait in line with me and my brother and let me get my photo taken with Linda Carter. And I was such a Wonder Woman fan that when she actually spoke to me, I hadn't met any celebrities yet. I didn't know how to handle that. So I had a meltdown and ran out of the mall and did not get the photo. But she wasn't my childhood crush. And this might throw you, JJ, but I grew up in the Northeast, Italian family, and every one of my aunts had photos of Elvis all over her walls. They watched everything Elvis did. They read everything Elvis. And so the man that I saw the most growing up was Elvis. I mean, I went to Graceland every single time I ever went to Memphis because I felt like I knew him through growing up that way. But I have to say, I had a crush too, because that was the only woman my aunts would fawn over and talk to us in that way about, like, oh, look at him dancing, you know, look at his hips. Like, remember, this was a time where people weren't doing these things. So, favorite superhero, Wonder Woman. Childhood crush was Elvis. That's wild to say, but it's real. That was my exposure. We got one here from Jonathan. Jonathan says, trip in Sicily. Hello, Lisa Ann. I'm Jonathan, and I'm from Montreal, Canada. Montreal is so beautiful. I follow you on Facebook and saw that you were visiting Cefalù in Sicily. Such a great little place. My question is, do you have any backgrounds from there? Are family living there? Thank you and enjoy your vacation. So I do not have any family living there, but that is where my dad's side of his family comes from, is Sicily. So I do have a lot of heritage there. The reason I went to Italy to Sicily was to go to Ganji and to visit the winery that I've partnered with to bring wine from Sicily to the United States. So this was a business trip that was a 72-hour trip to Italy. And we did 2 days in Ganji. But on the third day, since we had an early morning flight Tuesday morning, it didn't make sense to stay in Ganji the extra night because Ganji is about 2.5 hours from Palermo Airport. So instead, Alessio was so nice from the winery, decided we would drive the coast from Ganji, Sicily to Palermo, and we would halfway point stop in Cefalù, which was such an awesome town. I would go to Cefalù every single summer if I lived in Italy, which one day I hope to. But as for the family line, I'm trying to look more into that and be able to visit the cities where my family, but since I don't have a connection with my family, it's a little bit more complicated, but my roots are there. My true love is Italy. The winery was beautiful. The wine is spectacular, but just the people. And as I was talking to my girlfriend about the trip the other night, she told me I should watch this documentary called The Blue Zones. She had read the book. And she just watched the documentary on Netflix, and it's about cultures that live the longest. And they live the longest, and the blue zones are things of faith, community, all the things that the Italians do. So I absolutely love that. I feel like I could live till 100 if I lived in Italy, but if I live in America, that's not happening. We got one more here again. If you want to take part in the mailbag, it's asklisaann@gmail.com. Hello from the great state of Texas. From reading your books and following you on all social media platforms, you've done so many things in your life. What is left on your things that you want to do? Would you take up a musical instrument, learn to fly, and earn a private license? What's on the horizon for Lisa Ann to do for her personal fun enjoyment? I have no desire to fly a plane. That sounds like a lot of work and a lot of responsibility and a lot of risk. So we'll keep that one out of there. Though I would like to go to a hot air balloon festival and go up in a hot air balloon. I went to festivals as a kid, but we never got to go up in the balloons. So I'd love to go up in a hot air balloon. Really, I don't have a lot of things left that I want to do. More, instead of an instrument, I'd love to learn a new language or two or three. I'd like to expand my ability to communicate in other countries. I'd really like to learn and perfect sign language. The things that I want to do are just really skill sets of the mind where I just like to train myself to do more things. And the most important thing is having the freedom and flexibility of making my own schedule and being able to take time off and spend 5 days with my friends in Lake Tahoe and just have more time to be present for the people in my life, have more space for others. And it doesn't require a lot of stuff. It just requires having that time to be able to spend, hear your friends, be part of your friends' lives, build that community and simple goodness there. But thank you for that question. I am currently learning Italian. I'm doing 30 minutes a day right now of an audiobook. In 30 days, I'm going to go to Babbel. Once I do Babbel, then I'm going to start talking with friends of mine in the city that speak Italian as their first language. And if I have to, I'll hire a tutor. But I think once I get Italian under my belt, and then I will do all of my business with the winery, Tenuto San Gennami. I will speak to them in Italian. I'll be able to speak to them more often. And that will help me keep it flexed because it's all about using it once you learn it. But I thank you all so much for the email questions. I thank you all so much for listening. Don't forget Friday night, 8 p.m. Eastern time on my YouTube channel, The Real Lisa Ann. All of my social media is the same. And you've got a couple more weeks to take advantage of free shipping from my store, Shop Lisa Ann. I have added a calendar, 2024 adventure calendar. It's got some really good spots on there. My books, the promo code at checkout is football. That's at shoplisaann.com. All of my social media is the same at The Real Lisa Ann. And I look forward to seeing everyone at Sapphire 39 Thursday nights, at Sapphire 60 Friday, November 3rd, at Exotica, New Jersey, November 2nd, 3rd, and 3rd, 4th, and 5th, at Sexpo Love X, November 10th, 11th, and 12th, and at Exotica DC, December 1st, 2nd, and 3rd. We are wrapping up this year. 2023 is going to be over in a minute. Make sure that you hug your loved ones and do things for yourself that you like to do every day, because time flies and we have to remember there's a book over there you want to finish. Take some time out and finish it. You deserve it. Thank you so much for listening to an all new episode of The Lisa Ann Experience.